do want to tell you this. When I was a kid, I had a paper route. I believe we have a picture. No, that's not me. That's Dennis. Let me just tell you the rest of the story. Okay. In the early days of newspapers, when newspapers were the primary method of delivering the news, when something big happened, the publisher would not only publish the normal daily paper, but would also publish what's called an extra. You remember? Oh, wow. Yeah. The newspapers were sold on the street, often by newsboys who had a stack of papers that would sell them to walkers. When an extra came out, they would chant, "Extra, extra, read all about it." Let's sing it together. Huh? To call attention to the fact that something big has happened and the extra paper has been published, right? We do not live in these days anymore. I know you get some guys hawking some stuff in the city when you go to a game. I just want you to realize that something huge and big has occurred and God did it. Remember that first Palm Sunday when Jesus comes into Jerusalem to publicly present himself as Messiah, riding on a colt, fulfilling precisely Zechariah's prophecy in chapter 9, verses 9 and 10. Some of the Pharisees tell Jesus to rebuke his disciples for shouting and praising God. Jesus says right then, "If these don't speak, the rocks will cry out." Extra, extra. Read all about it. Remember also the moment when the women get to the tomb, and Matthew's account puts it this way, "And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen, as he said. Come and see where the Lord lay.'" The tomb's empty. We serve a risen Savior. It bears down right now on St. Patrick's Day, March 17th, 2019. Christ made and opened this opportunity up for everyone. And this is the big news in the world that needs to be shared again and again. This is the news in a world that is passing away in the lust thereof, that he who does the will of God will abide forever. Paul told Timothy, "As for this purpose, I was appointed a herald and an apostle. I'm telling the truth. I'm not lying, and true and faithful teacher of the Gentiles." The apostle Paul is he's the administrator of the church. He's the apostle to the Gentiles, and he lays for us clarity of how we are to know Jesus Christ and worship him. Today we will be looking at least 8 verses of chapter 2 of Colossians, the chapter where the apostle states he is in great conflict. If you were to look back on chapter 2 of this chapter, that's exactly how he comes out here. He, in chapter 1, just lifts the supremacy of Jesus Christ in all things, that by the very word of Jesus Christ the world's reformed, but this is also the very one who laid down his life. And Paul said, "I'm in great conflict," and he's spelling that out throughout this chapter. And he gets to that portion right here because he wants them to know the truth. This should be for every believer. And I was trying to sum up. I get to these moments, I'm like, how do I sum it up? It's hard to sum up Scripture because Scripture is Scripture. But when you think about how do you sum up a book of Colossians, how do you sum it up? Here's an attempt. Jesus, fully God, fully man, died in your place and mine. Sinners, Jesus was 100% victorious over death and the grave. He's not here. He's risen. He rose from the dead as he said he would. Believe him, receive him, live forever with him. You pass now from death to life, right here on planet Earth. This will only happen if you ask him. This is not magical. No one can wave the magic Jesus wand over you. You have to say, I need him. And I want him, and I believe him, and I receive him. Hallelujah. Welcome to the world of eternal life. What I just said is based upon the word of God, but here's the warning, based upon the word of God. Satan is your enemy, and he will immediately fight you and try to strategically keep you from enjoying what Jesus Christ fully secured for you. Peter would say, gird up the loins of your mind about these things. Paul would tell you to suit up with God's armor and weapons. Welcome to real war. This is precisely why the book of Colossians was given to us, because Satan uses errors and lies and false teaching to get us distracted. That's why we like to say, let's keep the main thing, and it's a cross that's empty. And it's an empty tomb, and he's risen again, and he is Lord, and he's coming for his church. And he has a wonderful plan for the nation of Israel. And he has a plan for the Gentile nations, and he's tying all things together. In the meantime, right now, the church's primary mission is to be salt and light in a world of darkness and point people to the way. Him. All right? Praise the Lord. Okay, so since we were in Disney, my brain's still in the moment, okay? This short clip from the Pixar movie, Up, reminds me how quickly distracted we become when something appeals to our fleshly appetite.
Hi there.
Did that dog just say hi there?
Oh, yes. My name is Doug. I have just met you, and I love you. My master made me this collar. He is a good and smart master, and he made me this collar so that I may talk. Squirrel!
You just got to appreciate Doug's face, okay? Doug is the dog. Many Christians are looking for things that will take them away from Jesus Christ. And you know what? That's what they look like. Squirrel. You know? You got to keep things clear when it comes to knowing Jesus Christ. That's why I want to read for you what the apostle says, because right here in these last 8 verses is a realm in which many Christians lose their way. They lose their way because they're trying to add something to what God has said is done. You cannot become super religious after you're born again to improve your status with God. Many people will seek all types of experiences. They're trying to improve upon a finished work. And the only thing that the believer is supposed to do is that, is enter it and rest in it. And then mature in that understanding so that you can fight the good fight of faith. So that when you finish living your life here on earth, our wonderful Savior can say, well done, my good and faithful servant. But there's a lot of landmines along the way. There's a lot of things that are going to keep us from seeing, and we're going to look like Doug the dog way more than we want to think, because we get distracted and we start to think, like, what's this really all about? So anyway, Doug the dog can go. I do want to have the scriptures put up on the screen. So let no one judge you. This is Colossians 2, verses beginning at verse 16. So let no one judge you in food or in drink or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbaths, which are a shadow of the things to come. But the substance is of Christ. Let no one cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humility and worship of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up with his fleshly mind, and not holding fast to the head, from whom all the body, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with the increase that is from God. Therefore, if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, why? This is like a big why. Why? As though living in the world, you subject yourselves to regulations. Do not touch, do not taste, do not handle, which all concern things which perish with the using according to the commandments and doctrines of men. These things indeed have an appearance of wisdom in self-imposed religion, false humility, and neglect of the body, but are of no value against the indulgence of the flesh. So I pray God will use his word this morning as we take a look at it for a little bit. How many people like to take tests? Oh yeah, sure. No, no, I'm sure. So we've been vicariously living through my daughter Amanda. I'm telling you, this girl has taken more tests than I can count. I mean, she's in her college degree right now. She's getting almost 90 college credits, but everything winds up in a test. And the test is, what did you learn? Did you learn it? And sometimes she feels like, I don't feel ready for this test. But somehow she comes back and she goes, I passed the test. So thank the Lord for her passing her test. But anyway, so tests, they're not comfortable, but they do reveal something. And it's good when we do pass it because I believe it builds our confidence. Not like buying your way into a university. Hello? Hello? This is, you see the unraveling of our culture? It is in everything. It is in everything. We're just simply humanly weak. And we look for passes all the time. But God has a way of maturing us. I like to think there are three tests in this passage. Number one, it's on the back of your bulletin, the pressure test. When the conformity tests come into your life, how are you doing? Do you know how to take the perish test? These things that are attractive, they're destined to perish anyway. And how about the person test? And this is the head of the church. Jesus Christ. Paul says here, so let no one judge you in food or drink or in regarding to a festival or a new moon or Sabbaths, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ. Let no one cheat you. Do you realize that at least four or five times in this letter, in these first two chapters, you're going to see words like, don't let. Don't let. Because guess what? There's a lot of people trying to get access into our thinking. And I was thinking about this morning. Okay. All right. How many people are being pressured to keep new moons and Sabbaths and all that stuff? I'm not sure who here is dealing with that. However, here's where I think it happens. Television, tabloid, and technology. It's in there. You need this. You will look so much better if you get that like 50 pounds off your body or whatever the amount of weight is, and you'll be so much happier and people will like you. And you realize, and if you only eat these foods and you do this, and somehow this stuff puffs us up temporarily. And then you feel like I got there only to realize that I'm back in the same battle because the flesh is weak. And Jesus said that, right? The spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. And that's why no matter what changes we make in our lives, no matter how good the improvements are, is that where your hope is? Is your hope in the fact that all those things happen? I've known people have gone through major surgeries to correct weight loss issues, only to come back that in a short amount of time it's happened again. Because the reality is we are weak. And I give people credit for trying to make change in their life. I don't ever want to take that away from anybody. But the voice of the culture is, you are more better if you do this. And somehow we wind up listening to that. I was in the world, the wonderful world of Disney this week. And there's a message in Disney. It's just there, okay? You just get it. You get it every night. Big fireworks, big explosions. If you just believe it, you'll get it. It sounds like a lot of theologians out there. And you got to be careful with that too. I think you have to take all of the scripture for what it is. God's number one plan is to have you seated in Christ, to know what belongs to you, what truly happened for you, and the wonderful kingdom that he has planned. Jesus says, I'm going to go and prepare a place for you, and where I am, there you will be also. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Go with Jesus. He loves you. He's got a plan for you. Whether you think it should be fully full-blown fulfilled this side of heaven, because clearly that doesn't happen to a lot of people. And that's why we think, if we come into this world thinking that, hey, and I, you know, again, I'm not knocking anybody having desires, dreams, and I think I told the church before, if I'm not dreaming, I'm dying. So if I'm not thinking about what's next for our church, some way, I feel like I'm failing. But anyway, but God's in charge of my life. God's in charge of my days. I hope I get to do this for a while longer, okay? It's fun. I told you, it's better than Disney World. I mean that. My family and I were just like, we need the refreshment from time to time. No question about it. But when we get back, it's like, these are the people I want to hang out with. These are the people I want to be with. These are the people I want to build with. Because guess what? I'm going to spend eternity with you. I better get to know you pretty well right now. We got to work through stuff. But that's why all the letters and the epistles, I saw Dennis's little outline there in the Sunday school of all the letters that the apostle wrote. Because basically, we need help getting along in a world that is filthy and dirty and can easily discourage us. And that's why you have a letter like Colossians, is because there are likely things coming into our thinking that are going to take us off, and we're going to look like Doug the dog way more than we should. Squirrel. You know, you're going to be distracted. And somehow the believer is not... he's not exempt from being distracted. It's just not exempt. All right, so Paul's urgency here is, don't let anybody cheat you of your reward. See, because here's the problem. A saved person can get distracted to the point of listening to false teaching could distract them from eternal rewards. Like, we need to think about this stuff. Correct thinking leads to a future with Jesus Christ that is rewarded by him. I just think that's awesome. It is a hallelujah. It's awesome that my Savior has rewards for me. Jesus says, I'm coming and my reward is with me. Well, who does he want to reward? He wants to reward people who knew him and took him at his word and learned how to do battle in the world that he knows what we're in. Jesus knows how. What's the song say? Jesus knows my every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. My wife said, you need to invite more people to prayer meeting. Okay, I'm inviting you. Consider yourself invited. Wednesday nights, and we'll look at more of some of these things and how we want to make sure. You know, in this passage here, Paul says, let no one cheat your reward or of your reward, taking delight in false humility and worship of angels. You know, sometimes I hear people say, well, the church is judgy. Well, here's what we want to be. We want to make sure that people are moving in the right direction. There are things in my life that someone might say, you know what, I don't think that's really good for you. And I'm like, okay, speak into that. But as far as me wrapping you around a bunch of legalistic duties and responsibilities and like, you can't come here if you don't do this and you don't do that, blah, 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 all that stuff, that is robbing you. And see, guess what happens in those communities? I'm better than him. I'm better. I'm propping myself up. I'm holier than you, right? It's just bad. And we want to really stay away from that. See, this is because when Christ fulfills everything for us and we enter that, the playing field is level. Right? As far as the growing, we want to grow. Paul says, I commend you to God in the word of his grace that is able to build you up and give you an inheritance. If we aren't growing in grace, and that's being reminded what belongs to us freely, and what God promises to us lovingly, then we're going to get mixed up in things that, and I say this, I see churches, people say to me, I can't believe the dwindling of churches in America. Now, I know there are some movements that are definitely, there are some strong churches, and I praise God for that, and I'm grateful. But, you know, you're talking churches 30, 40 years ago that were vibrant churches that have gone, not exactly sure all the reasons, but I think if you don't keep Jesus fresh and you don't know how to live in this day, discouragement is coming. I know. I've been discouraged from time to time. You know, in this idea of worship of angels, it's very tempting. We went through a period about 15 years ago where the priority was angels. Everybody was wearing an angel pin, angel, angel. Like, I'm all into, I believe angels are a big part of our protection. And I've heard one pastor say he believes that every believer has been assigned a guardian angel or an angel for them. I'm not sure if they could support that in scripture, but there's definitely heavenly angels that are very involved in our protection. I truly believe that. I just drove in Florida. Okay. And there was a lot of people, and they said, do you want the rental insurance? I'm like, nope. I'm like, oh, should I have taken that rental insurance? You know, it's never quite the price that they tell you at the when you book it. We could load you up. You can have free tolls for the entire trip. We can't guarantee you're going to go through a toll booth, but if you give us an extra $100, you won't have any problems. So we picked up like 500 quarters so we can pay them. But anyway, so this idea of worship of angels. You remember when John the Apostle actually is getting this revelation in the book of Revelation. He actually falls down. He says, don't worship me. We are not to worship angels. We are to worship Jesus Christ. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I think in that resurrection picture, when the angel comes, I believe that's either Michael or Gabriel, the archangels. I think they're reserved for these big announcement moments. And I think we want to always remember, we don't worship angels. We know they're a part of God's economy. We know they're part of God's, And this is where some of this stuff, this whole superstition mindset that creeps into people's lives for 50 years. And it's like, I just do this. I say this. I do this because it's like the magic wand. There's no magic wand in living the Christian life. It's the scripture. And you got to be careful. Oh, I hope my good outweighs my bad. Hello. I mean, do you know how many people think this way? This is lies. This will rob you. Think about that. I hope I'm good enough. You live with that thing on your conscience forever until you breathe your last breath? You hope you're good enough? Okay, then you got to be as good as Jesus. That's the bottom line here. That's why we want to tell people, free salvation. Free salvation. It's by grace, and come while you can, because you don't know when you're going to breathe your last breath, God has a wonderful, he has a life for you, and he didn't make you. You weren't an accident. He wants you to know that. That's why we take all God's word, and we look at when David says in Psalm 139, I was knitted together in my mother's womb. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. So we take the full record of God, and we see what he's doing. The other thing I think about here, remember when the apostle talks about the thorn in his flesh? And he says, I'm not even permitted to speak about this. And you got people on television left and right bragging about some big vision they had. Hello? We've got to pay attention to the scripture. If the apostle who wrote 25% of our Bible says, hey, I'm not permitted to speak about these things, because you actually... Many scholars believe this thorn in the flesh was given to Paul to keep him humble, because what God revealed to him and what he showed him was so encouraging about his future that if he had just gone off on the vision of what was there, he could have been distracted. So be real leery of people who all they talk about is the visions that they have. Make sure whatever vision you and I have is consistent with the Word of God, so that if we start to say, you know what, God told me, it matches Scripture. You know what? God told me to be kind-hearted and forgiving one another, just as God in Christ also forgave you. I can, if I have a vision for that, you win, right? That's where you want to say, you want to get your marching orders from the Word of God so that we're not messing. And this is the realm of confusion and things that will keep you so distracted. And it gives this false humility. I've met religious people in my life. People think I'm a religious person. I'm really not. I just love God. And if it looks a little religious, well, I'm sorry. But the goal is that I just want to be what he wants me to be. I want to be free. He set me free from the law of sin and death. He told me what happened to my sin, my old flesh nature. It was crucified with him. Yeah, am I celebrating my freedom? Do I dance a little bit up here? You know it, you know. I'm terrible at dancing, and it just doesn't happen. But you get a little bit of that here and there. But this is the idea that we want to really focus on, is that we don't want a fleshy old mind being puffed up by some religious experience that we got, that we think we got one on you. I got one on you. Hello, that you ever hear me talking about that, just, I don't know, kick me or something, because that's just bad. So I mentioned earlier in the announcement time that, let me make this statement first. I talked about voices through the TV, the tabloids, and technology. I mean, how many of us have went to, like, look at a news story, you bump into the link that's right beside it, and that's trying to sell you some product. And then it's like, celebrity so-and-so, and celebrity secrets, and celebrity. See how the world takes these pictures of success? Satan loves to use this. If you would just get to Hollywood and make movies, you'd be happy. I just read a story of a woman who said you could not pay her to go back and work in Hollywood. And she was a successful film director. You would recognize some of the movies if I told you one of them was Wayne's World. Some of us remember that movie. She, you know, 13, whatever. She makes tons of money. And she said, you couldn't pay me to go back to the corruption of Hollywood. So people have these dreams of getting out there. I'm going to go and I'm going to have this dream. If you go into anything in this life, you make sure God led you. That's really the bottom line. He may call some people to work in filmmaking. You know, I tell you though, it's tough work. It's tough work in any of those industries because they don't like God. And Scripture says Satan is the prince of the power of the air, who has blinded the mind of the unbeliever. Praise God for His Holy Spirit, who brings liberating truth to you through Jesus Christ. Jesus says, I will send my Spirit. After I go, another will come in my place, not leaving us as orphans. If you enjoy reading the Bible and the Bible comes to life for you, thank the Holy Spirit for opening up your eyes, opening your mind. Scripture says you have the mind of Christ. You have the mind of Christ in the Scripture. Back to my story. I get a call from this gentleman by Steve, the name of Steve Santos. Anybody know the name Steve Santos from Wareham? Steve is now with Boston's Teen Challenge. He called me a couple weeks ago. He says, Dave, I've been spent a couple years at the Plymouth County Correctional Facility. I listened to 90.5 while I was there, and the radio station saved my life. This guy is now directing, helping to oversee the work of Teen Challenge after he left because he had life-altering substance addictions. He is working with Teen Challenge. He said, can we come in and just share some songs from the choir and some testimonies? I said, yep, because I love to see what God's done in lives. In every one of us, every one of us is in some process. So we can encourage the guys at Teen Challenge on May 5th. There'll be about 10 of them here to sing and share some testimonies. But I thought about the airwaves today. You realize there are television and radio waves all over this room. You just can't see them. Many of those have corrupt messages flowing right through them right now. In the old days, remember the rabbit ear antennas? Like, oh, there it goes. Because that TV could pick up that signal right there. That's what the antenna is. Now everything's cable directed or, you know, high-speed internet. But you think about the messages that are just in the world, and I think that's only one portion of Satan's dominion for sure. But praise God that there is some Bible-centered content that people can find, and there's so much good stuff on the internet. Just be discerning about that. As I said earlier, four times Paul uses the statement, don't let anyone cheat you, judge you, deceive you. You know, who is the author of deception and lies? Satan. It happened, started in the garden, and you look at what happened in the garden with Adam and Eve, and you see that Satan makes an offer that was not God's offer. And he says, you can be like him. You can be like God. You'll be just like him. Oh, how tempting it is sometimes for people to want to be something that they have no right to be that, because that's territory that God reserved. And there is only one Lord, one King, one God, Jesus Christ, the Lord of Lords, the Holy Spirit, God the Father. And so we worship Him. Our God is a wonderful Lord. Don't look at this world and all that's going wrong and blame God. God sent a precise and perfect rescue plan in his son, Jesus Christ. And he says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. You have Christ today, you have life. You pass from death to life the moment you receive that. Sometimes people have these bawling their eyes out test moments. Like, I cried my eyes out for 3 hours because I realized how much of a junky sinner I was. Well, what happened after that? Did you grow in this wonderful grace? Did you keep beating yourself up forever and ever and ever because I just keep failing? Well, you need good teaching. You need fortified teaching. You need to see what God's doing. He's making a new man. He's making a new woman in there. There's a new person emerging. And when you see Jesus, you will be like him. In other words, you will be as righteous as he is right now. That righteousness has been given to you as a gift that only God sees. God is the one who sees what's working in our hearts. So that was the pressure test. That first one is this idea of there's a pressure test in this world. And are you letting this world system conform you into their thinking? Have you been able to simply stand up for free righteousness and say, I stand on the basis of the word of God that Christ loved me and died for me and I didn't earn it. And I'm going with it and enough, and that is enough. I don't need religious practice. I don't need it. If anything, the scripture really cautions me of how much to do. There are certain things that we do, not just the offering, but we have the Lord's table. We have opportunities to worship the Lord. We have believers' baptism. Every believer should be baptized. Is it saying, you know what? My old life is gone and my new life is here. And until I see Christ, I want to live for him. So we got a couple of things. But the church gets beat up a lot. You people aren't very nice. Pray for our parking lot issues out there and try to be nice when you're out there. But you know, it's like everybody wants to, you know, blame the church sometimes. You know, Satan hates the church. He will incite any human being who is anti-God to say bad things about the church. It's just important that as believers, that we do watch our life and our conduct closely. We don't want to give fuel for Satan's fire. We want to live in a way that God is pleased. So anyway, the parish test. And these are all things that are just temporary. My week in Disney and all the things that we enjoy there, just a blur. It was wonderful. It's a blur. You know, the thing that came away from that most was I got some good pictures. It's the memories I have with my family. I can't even tell you what I ate certain days. It's all gone. Therefore, if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourselves to regulations? Do you realize the very best book about dealing with regulations, about what is the real clarity about this, is the book of Galatians? That book will tell you, will set you straight. Paul says, who snuck in on you? Who snuck in and spied out your liberty? Because you were enjoying the Lord Jesus Christ, and somehow, hey, unless you're circumcised, unless you do this, unless you keep the law, you're not really saved. Okay, Mr. Judaizer. That's really what they were doing. And there was a big battle over this in the church. As a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul confronted the Apostle Peter over this very issue. And the apostle was given the task to make this gospel so crystal clear that this gospel of grace would be able to not only save but protect as we are nurtured in this wonderful, wonderful, wonderful good news that God has given to us so freely. So do not touch, do not taste, do not handle, which all concern things that which perish with the using, according to the commandments and doctrines of men. See, made up stuff. Be careful what you listen to, what fraternal organizations you're a part of. There are people who get involved with all types of organizations that are not biblical, and they need to be cautious. There's so many temptations, and don't beat yourself up here. But here's the deal. There are things coming into our lives all the time that want to add to what Jesus completed. And Paul's saying, it's right here. You are not exempt from this. I am not exempt from this. Just be very cautious. These things indeed have an appearance of wisdom and self-imposed religion, false humility and neglect of the body, but are of no value against the indulgence of the flesh. It took Christ's death on that cross to remove sin from you. And it took precious blood that had to flow from our Savior's perfect life in order for that old nature of yours to be completely crucified and dead in God's eyes. When Jesus died, he was separated. Your sin nature was separated with him. And it's forever removed. The presence of that has not been, in the sense that we can still kind of be there, but in God's eyes, it's been crucified. If you are in Christ, that nature, your old nature, is gone with him this morning. And that's what you should rejoice in. I love what this commentator says. He says, the persistent example of legalism in the New Testament was the Old Testament command of circumcision, which God intended for the Jews as a sign of faith, but which the legalists wanted to make a condition of grace. Living by such regulations of self-made religion has a certain appearance of wisdom, but it has absolutely no value in restraining self-indulgence. Do you ever ask yourself, why do I still desire that? Why do I still want to go there? Do you ever think about what's really causing you to want that? That's an old sin nature. Just know that God, and I'm going to pick, where's Pat? I am so blessed to hear, we had a gathering on Friday night, and so just tell him I bragged on him. So he talked about how he, right after his wonderful wedding, to Gail, that next day he prayed a simple prayer. He said, Lord, I want to be delivered from these cigarettes. And he was celebrating that with us on Friday night. How God can deliver. I know there are other people in this church who've been delivered from cigarette smoking. They've been delivered. And they want to be delivered. But every time, you know, if we don't give God an opportunity to take these things away and to remove them from us because they aren't helping us, you know, praise God for that power. He's like, the ka-ching, ka-ching, ka-ching factor starts to add up, you know? And that sometimes we don't realize, we come to our senses. Sensual indulgence is literally the flesh. Paul says here, yeah, but has absolutely no value in restraining sensual indulgence. Sensual indulgence is literally the flesh. For denying the body its desires merely arouses them, and is well known by many who've tried to lose weight by sticking to rigid diets, neglecting the body. Paul argued that this does not nourish the spirit. If you spend your days just trying not to do things, I'm not going to do that, I won't do that anymore, that is not through the Spirit's power. You want to do that through the Holy Spirit's help and aid. God will work with you. He is willing to work with you. He has saved you. He will call you. If you still struggle your entire life on planet Earth, don't give up. God has not forsaken you. Paul's warning to the Galatians was, don't be entangled again to a yoke of slavery. Satan's goal is for you to look at your spiritual life minus Jesus, to develop a spiritual life. I'm spiritual. I've heard more people say that to me. I'm spiritual. What does that mean? What does that really mean? Could you be honest with that? What does that really mean? I'm a spiritual person. Well, is it minus Jesus? Well, Satan empowers that thinking. It's a big fat lie. I'm just going to tell you that. And this is the person test. So we want to stay away from things that are just subject to the perish test. This idea that things just perishing over time, that I'm not going to be putting my life entangled up in all these things, because these things are destined to perish. But the person test is this. Verse 19 of Colossians. Not holding fast to the head is what happened here. From whom, and this is about Jesus Christ, from whom all the body, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with increase that is from God. As God is working in the life of the church, he's strengthening us. We are his body. Each of us is a part of that body. And as God strengthens us, it pours out, blessing arises in our lives. Strengthening arises. Reminders come to my mind. I have had a phone call this week about a situation years ago in my own life, in my own research, and I thought, you know, I'm kind of done with this. I've been here, done that, read this information, and I realized, wow, within the body of Christ is oftentimes there are people in our church that will remind us of something that God showed us years ago. But guess what? It became a little fuzzy or unclear. And then we start to realize, wow, it is good. The body of Christ, God is strengthening his body. And Satan's number one is to try to get into the life of a church and to destroy it. If you want to know specifically where that happened, look at all the addresses in the book of Revelation. Somewhere these people lost their first love. And Jesus rebukes. Jesus says, he wants us to know him. That's why when we observe the Lord's table, it's like we're just being reminded of how much his great love was poured out for us and how much he wants us free. You know, I think of that picture in Genesis 32 where Jacob is wrestling with God. And Jacob basically says, I will not let you go. I am so, remember, Jacob's about to see Esau. This relationship was already in trouble, and Jacob has all this stuff that he's brought with him to meet his brother. And yet that night he wrestles with God and he gets a hold of God. And so much so that Jacob won't let go of him. That's the tenacity that you and I should be holding on to our Lord and Savior. Because he will never let you go. And God blessed him and called him Israel. And guess what Israel can translate to? God fights. Isn't that awesome? God fights. I just love this. That's when I opened the service up today with Psalm chapter 44. Talked about if you're going to boast in the Lord. That's how I want to end right here. Let anyone who boasts, boast in the Lord. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you so much for what you are doing. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your strength. Thank you for your help. I pray, Father, that you will guide and direct us as a church, that we would encourage one another, that you would supply us once again with the knowledge that we need to keep serving you and serving you well, that we would evaluate our lives based upon pressure tests or parish tests, but we'd realize, you know, the center of my life is the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray for any soul struggling in this place this morning, that you would strengthen them, bless them, you would encourage them. If you need prayer this morning, I'd love to just not call your name up, but just pray for you. Anybody want to slip their hand up and say, I need prayer because I don't want to waste my life. Anybody here this morning? Thank you, Lord. I do pray. I pray for every willing heart in this place this morning. Hands raised, hands not raised. God, that you would continue to work in hearts in this place because we want Christ center. We want to pass the person test. We want to make sure that my life is beyond the pleasure test and the parish test. I want to know Jesus better, Lord. Thank you. Please bless this congregation. Strengthen them. In Jesus' name, amen.